Welcome to Starfleet Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I run SFB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a reminder how to join us with a talk cast every Thursday starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either call on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions of call IDs 17702. Are you interested on the web? Just go to the Talk Show website at www.talkshoe.com. Search for call ID 17702 or Starfleet Universe On Call. Or for an even better experience, go over to twitch.tv. Yes, go over to twitch.tv/SFU On Call and you'll have the best experience there, especially if you want to watch us live. That's the place to go. Because there you'll be involved in the chat room. Because the chat room is much better over there versus TalkShoe. And also, you get to see my blue, absolutely gorgeous face. Fortunately, I'm just glad it doesn't break the camera. And of course, if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. It's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, you want to follow me on Twitter. My podcast account there is, of course, sfuoncall. Big shocker there. Also have a personal account called Paul Franz, P-A-U-L-F-R-A-N-Z. There's absolutely no T in that name. But they in Pennsylvania, they have some, they are. But anyway, just a reminder, I'm a tremendous O's fan. I'm a definitely dedicated Catholic. And also, I love all kinds of tech. So if you don't like any of those, if any of those bother you, don't follow me. And of course, I have my Franz Games account, which you can follow if you want to find out about those things going on with Franz Games. And of course, the lovely TalkCast gets turned into a podcast available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. Some quick news from A to B this week, just that the Captain's Log number 51 is now available in ebook form. Yes. Actually, I didn't see the announced Captain's Log number 50, but I'm assuming that if number 51 is available, number 50 is also available, because they said they're going to go in that order. So both of those are available on the normal e-tailers, you know, Warhouse 23, War Game Vault, and Drive-Thru RPG. Go there and you can pick up your electronic versions so you can save a few trees. And of course, ADB has all kinds of wonderful free stuff. Go to starfleetgames.com. I go to the Master Index. There you can find all kinds of wonderful resources, from something as simple as a desktop image to, I don't know if they have this. I actually did not check, and I don't want to say that they do, but I'm assuming they probably have some background images for phones also. I would think they could do that if they haven't already done so. If they have not already done so, then I will definitely need to mention that to Steve Cole, because that's something they could easily do, and people I'm sure would love to do that, have that on their phones. Obviously, the problem with any phones, the size of the phones are so much different depending upon which manufacturer you actually buy from. You know, with if it's a Google Pixel or a Samsung Galaxy or a Motorola, you know, Moto, you know, they're all different sizes and different, sometimes different shapes, which is weird. Haven't figured that one out yet, but hey, to each is own. Moving on to SFBL9 tournaments, actually looks like they will be coming up. Is the Sapphire Star Crown tournament should be coming up. That will be restarting because of Steve Pedrick is back. And when it comes to library, not much progress, nothing happening there. No corrections and no additions. So with that, that is news for this week. And it's me, Solo Neil Paul Thrones, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, we have me, we have Doug, we have Dave sitting in the chat room. And of course, we probably have a lot more people over on the Twitch chat room. And I hope to see many, many persons over there tonight. By the way, I forgot to say hello to someone. Hey, Doug.
Hey. Hi.
Hi.
How's it going?
Going good. The topic is definitely one that's up for grabs for tonight, so it should be interesting, to say the very least. Do I have the right one? Probably the wrong one. Don't mind me. I'm trying to bring up my screen. And I just brought it up. Are you on Twitch too? Yes. Say the very least, it's been a while since this picture has been taken. Your beard's the same though.
Little guy's only like 1 year old.
Yep. Yep.
I think that's Douglas there. Mm-hmm. When he was one. We were at Grantville when that picture was taken, I believe.
You can see this curtain, and there's right outside, there's parking lot. Actually, is that snow? I don't know. Maybe it's parking lot.
Yeah. Oh, that is snow. That is snow. That was, that looks like the upstairs room, the Dolphin room in the Comfort Suites out in Grantville.
Mm-hmm. And there's the game, A House Divided.
Yep, we played that a few times at Gamers of Winter.
Yep.
Yeah, Barry likes that. I've always found that to be a fascinating game. It's a good strategic level game.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still kind of beer and pretzels in some respects.
Mm-hmm. So. Doug, I remember the one... When it's, I think this Gamers of Winter, it might have been Gamers of Summer, I can't remember at this point. I had to, like, half an hour to an hour before I had to leave. And then you try to teach us this Civil War game. And it's always, it's really simple, really simple. Yeah, it's really simple when you know the rules. And I'm not sure you had a full copy of the rules with you, or at least you might have had a copy of the rules.
Which one? Was it Gleam of Bayonets, by chance?
No.
Remember, was it a specific battle?
Yes, it was a specific battle.
What do you think it was? Was it a specific battle?
Yes, it was a specific battle. I forget where it was. The thing that says it, I think it was Antietam.
Yeah, that would be A Gleam of Bayonets.
Yeah.
That was republished by TSR. It was an old SBI system. And the Terrible Swiss Sword series was the original games publication of that under... SBI, they did a series of them. They did Gettysburg, Antietam, Shiloh. I think there was one other large battle they did, but I'm not sure off the top of my head. There was also a few clone games that came out like with similar systems. Oh, plus when their old magazine, they also had... Strategy and Tactics magazine, do you remember that? Way back in the day?
Oh, yeah.
They published lots of smaller battles using the same system. And, basically, that's an there's a fascinating thing about that. The system overall is less complicated than Starfleet battles. And it can be a little bit of a read. And a little bit confusing to the people who aren't workers approaching it necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
But it's one of those things that you can learn to play it just by, you know, sitting down with somebody and going through all the phases of how to play. I had lots of fun with that way back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
There's a graying industry as well. What did you want to know about that? Anything in particular?
No, nothing in particular. I just had memories of of you doing that. It's like, oh yeah, well, really quick. When I'm like, as I said, 30 minutes to an hour heading out the door. It's like, oh, you learn real quick. And it's like, yeah, no.
You can sleep on it and come back the next day. Come on. Yeah, you're not going to get a game done in that time. Yeah. You can get the feel for it a little bit, I guess.
Yeah.
There's another fascinating thing about that particular system is that once you actually have how to play down pat, that actually can turn into a real-time game in that the turns represent about half an hour of time. You'll get a turn done in about the same amount of time, which I found interesting, especially if you're trying to play Gettysburg, for God's sake. That is a 3-day game. But yeah.
I understand. You know, it's like F&E.
Huge. Yeah, very much so. But they also had, you know, things as small as Cedar Mountain, Pea Ridge. And, you know, it's like not every small battle of the Civil War, but a whole bunch of them they published in the S&T magazine using the same system. The only difference between Antietam and the rest of the games in that series was that there was a change in the damage in the actual attack tables and stuff because of the scale. A lot of the units involved were very under strength on the Confederate side. So they had to literally rewrite how they did the attacks, the attack bonuses, the damage done, all that stuff. But it's basically everything else is the same as the rest of the series. And one of the things I thought might be kind of like fascinating to do would be if you stepping away from that particular series, if you took the game you mentioned in the very beginning of this that you could see in that one box, and you played that as a battle generator, so to speak. You play a turn or two and you say, okay, I'm going to exercise my privilege because this is an important spot and I don't want to leave it to 3 or 4 dice rolls. We're going to fight this one out on a tactical battlefield, kind of like Titan, you know, except that in Titan, I think you have to do all your fights on the side. But if I remember correctly. And basically say, okay, we're going to fight the Battle of Vicksburg out here, and you go and you fight it with, say, Parables with Sword or maybe Fire and Fury if you're into miniatures wargaming. So there's that. Oh, yeah.
Oh, this is old. Okay, wait a minute. This is really far back.
Oh, the Antietam game that we were talking about was CSR's republished version of Terrible Swift Sword. Or not, yeah, Gleam of Bayonets. That's it. Yeah.
Wow.
I got to play that one a lot. I played it a few times in Germany. They made the mistake of letting me play the Confederates in the beginning part one time, and I just was like all over aggressive and just got butchered.
Wow.
But it put a hurting on them because, the way the units are set up.
Oh, interesting.
If you're into Civil War stuff, the guys over at it's one that I've published or I put on the Gamers of South Central group. there's a group down in York that it's like, I think, kind of York Carlisle area, kind of maybe between the two different areas, between the two different cities down there, that has a wargaming group that's basically a big private club that does miniatures wargaming, and they've been putting videos up of everything they do. They have tons of stuff. One of their favorites was the Fire and Fury system, but they moved on to a lot of other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What was the name of that? I've been trying to get them to come down. I learned about them, and then COVID hit.
Oh, man.
And, yeah, everybody kind of dried it dries so much up. It was not Hawk, but, I watched their damn videos all the time. Maybe not all the time, but at least several times a week. They'll put something out every week or two. And not Traveler Con. Have you ever been to TravelerCon?
Nope. Well, I haven't really been that much into Traveler, so.
Little Wars TV, that's it. Those guys. I would love for them to come up and run a special event at the Gamers.
Mm-hmm.
That would be awesome. Lord knows we have the space for it.
That is true.
Oh, and just to get the plug in, I still have a few more weeks before I have to make a decision on the fundraiser, whether to cash it in and use the money towards something or to let it all go back out and refund everything.
Mm-hmm.
So those of you who are new listeners, if there are any new listeners to this tonight or during the next week or two, we have a GoFundMe going for Gamers of Winter because the prior venue that we had for the last several years decided they are no longer doing outside rentals, and that leaves us looking for a new home.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't made a decision on a new place yet, but oh my God, the sticker shock, because we had such a sweetheart deal with this place, and they didn't raise it over the last 4 odd years that we were with them. So just going back to some of the prior venues, they've like significantly increased their fees. And one of the things that I would love to see would be if we raised enough money that we could go just rent a place for like a storefront for a month,
mm-hmm.
and run Gamers of Winter over the regular holiday thing, and then hold a whole bunch of other events in the space for the rest of the time. So I think that would be awesome. And it's something that a lot of other gaming groups might want to come in on as far as being able to have an expensive space to go to.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. In case you guys aren't aware of it, there's the group up in New York, the Ithaca Wargaming Group, is doing their last big tournament.
Yeah, that's going to be at Dave's house.
Yeah, so I'm trying to see if they want to come down to us sometime. We have a central location for travel.
Oh,
we had somebody that wanted to run a large 50 tournament. But then again, we've had this discussion on the show in the last couple months over and over again about it being a graying thing.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Understood.
So there's that.
Yeah, they got like 8 guaranteed players and 2 people that might show up.
Yeah.
So. And view full screen.
Oh, yeah, Great Battle of the American Civil War. Talking about the division level game.
Which one?
There was a comment in chat.
Oh.
Great Battle of the American Civil War is a good series, If I remember correctly, is that the FBI one that was, is that the one you were talking about?
No, no. But yeah, it's David, okay. Dave Cheng, not this Dave. Totally different, two different guys. I did find a couple old pictures from 2007. Origins 2007. Up on the screen right now, you've got, that's me. That's Nick Blank. There's me again. With my, this is my first, I'm pretty sure this is my first Intel Mac. Brian Evans, yeah. Oh yeah, Jeremy Gray.
Yeah, that's a word. Yeah. He looks so young in that picture.
He is so young in that picture. He's 15 years ago.
Oh my God, I remember that shirt.
You mean this shirt? The Hawaiian shirt?
Yeah.
Patrick Doyle, obviously, he's playing FedCom here. Oh yeah, I forgot about that. One person, I remember this year, a person brought a collection of painted miniatures to play games with. Wanted to encourage people to actually play their, like, their Federation Commander, because Federation Commander was actually a tournament, a separate tournament at Origins. That's, I forgot his name, this is awful. He was a professor at one of the universities. I think actually, then he left there and became a high school teacher, which he actually enjoyed more. Of course, I ever so famous Steve Petrick. I got old Tony.
Yep, there's Steve.
And then we have. This guy here is Chuck. I was going to say Chuck Joyner, not Chuck Joyner. Chuck Strong with Ryan Oppen, you know, Oppen over here. Mike Curtis. Bill. Oh, I forget the last name. Honestly, I don't know this guy. But obviously, if you notice, this is in the F&E room that they had set aside for themselves.
Oh, yeah.
And this one...
their enclave.
Yep. This was it was an interesting variation using F&E rules, but it was a beginner... idea is that you would actually begin and... use EAPS and all that kind of thing to build up your fleets and so forth. And you have these, boards. Each person started on a different hex board. I forget what that was called.
Iggy, I didn't get into that.
When it comes to converting someone from Federation Commander to SFB, takes a bit. The important thing, the big thing with, yeah, agreed, good luck. The big thing with Starfleet Battles, the great thing about Starfleet Battles is the details. And the one thing that always caught me is that it felt more realistic. Now, depends upon what your friend likes. If a guy just likes the simplicity of FedCom, then you're never going to convert him. But if he wants something that's a little more, as I said, quote unquote, realistic, it makes it feel more realistic with the detail that SFB gives, then you got him. Oh, yeah, plays ASL? Then maybe. Because SFB is usually, it's been compared, ASL and SFB have been compared to be pretty equal when it comes to rule sets. I forget these guys. Oh, Yeah, Tim
I played
Linden.
both, and yeah.
Tim Linden, and there's the stacks of FedCom cards as you came into the room. Roger Reardon. Ah. Peter Bukiya. Right there. That's when he was young. So for those of you who follow him on Facebook.
Oh my. Yeah. He does a radio show out at a college campus, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
I believe.
Mr. Cole, many years. This is 2007. This is 15 years ago. Enjoying his cookies and his Diet Coke. Boy, back in the days. This was mine. My little router connect up devices. Ah, yes. You recognize him?
Ooh, which one, where?
The guy in the white shirt.
I recognize the face.
Paul Scott.
Oh my, yeah.
Yep. Bill Scheller, right there. Again, F&E room. F&E. I don't remember her. Oh, isn't that
Who?
her? I can't. I'm trying to read her.
Oh, you zoom in on the picture.
Okay, won't let me zoom in any more than that. Because I know.
It's not Jean.
No, not Jean. That's definitely not Jean.
But
Jean
he's
doesn't wear these kind of earrings.
yeah, definitely.
And
That's a fee player, wasn't she?
No, I think she was a wife of an SFB player. Or
That's it,
no,
yeah.
oh no, F&E. Because if this is the F&E room. Because there's the
Ah, okay.
escalators, and the F&E room was right off. You got off the escalator. It was F&E room. The next room over was the SFB and FedCom room. Ah, Mike Novine, another one of the judges. Crap. Big slow target. David. Yankee.
Wow.
Looney Labs, yeah. At Origins.
Yeah.
I never played this game with the pyramids.
We had one of their guys coming out to our event for a few years too. Tim Eller, who is still on Facebook, but I haven't seen him do much lately.
I got some pictures from yes. I don't remember her. Obviously one of the volunteers to help out.
Oh, yes. She was Jen Burris. She was my line producer for Some Kind of Justice when I was doing independent film way
Oh,
back in
okay.
the day.
Cool. Yeah, this
Came
was.
out with us. Yeah, her and her. I forget if her future husband came out with her, but she came out for like D&D and stuff like that. And she volunteered to help out with the sales booth. And if I remember correctly, like Cole even said that with her at the sales booth, like sales skyrocketed because,
Quote unquote booth babe.
I'm not kidding.
Oh, understood, understood.
This, yeah, she
It was not like she's
did a,
scantily clad or
yeah.
anything like that. Possibly it's just the a feminine aura, you know, that kind of thing.
Well, she had a very nice personality too.
Oh, yeah.
Very nice young lady. I was very smitten with her, and
Ah,
I
yes.
really liked her as a line producer. Did a really good job at that.
Remember the foam rubber
Yeah,
weapons?
some kind of justice. You guys ever need a good drinking game movie? Some kind of justice. It's on IMDb, and you can get it off of Amazon. Super cheap. There's even just the download version.
Wow.
Please don't shoot me if you see it.
Oh,
Yeah. But it was, he was with the crew when it did the whole concept from applying, basically applying army experience to filmmaking. The whole walk, or the whole crawl, walk, run concept of getting a film crew together and teaching them how to do their thing. And we did some short films together and then some larger projects. And then we did some kind of justice. And then a few years later, a bunch of us got back together and did Baybar the Jihadi. Both of which, I might add, are available through plug, 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 Amazon.
Yeah. Understood. Understood.
Yeah,
Yeah.
it's like I haven't seen Jen Burris in here. She moved down to York, married the DM for her the gaming group she was a part of, and basically disappeared into that other county and existence, so forth. And I
Understood. Understood.
literally about 10 years, 15 years.
Yeah.
There's amazing how sometimes you get to meet tons of people and like everybody moves on to everything else.
Yep.
I wasn't used to that in the army. That would have been like a bigger thing, shock wise, I guess. Making friends and then like not hearing from them again after a while
Yeah, that
because
happens.
of we're such a mobile country. People move.
I know, I
There's a
know.
guy with 300 people friends
Yeah. But yeah, I kind of miss this arrangement, which is a big room with lots of chairs, lots of people, and you set up different areas, and that's where you would play. And as I've pointed out before on past podcasts, the one thing that I think A to B did wrong, it was better for the players involved in that it had a quieter room to focus, but it got rid of the visibility of the game itself. You know, which I thought was always I always thought it was a bad thing. I'd rather deal with the noise than and have people see us and say, "Hey, wait, what game is that?" You know, because come on, anybody, if you ask any gamer, let's say, and this is 15, 20 years ago, do people still play SFB? They'd say, "No, SFB's dead." You know, that's because we weren't visible. You know, I think that's one of A to B's. No, A to B did more than one thing wrong. But I think when it comes to Origins and the marketing of the game, I think that was a big mistake by A to B myself. You know,
Yeah, I gotta
you
agree.
get you get you get when you have people see people playing it, you get the excitement from watching people playing the game. And come on. There was, yes, it's like, SFB is like baseball. Baseball can be very boring if you don't really aren't looking for the details, because the excitement is in the details of baseball when it comes to the pitcher throwing the pitch to the batter. That's where the excitement is. Some people, that's the most boring part about it. It's the hitting a ball, you know, and getting it going in the outfield, yeah, that's exciting. I agree there. But if you don't find the pitcher batter duel that's going on in front of you exciting, you know, can't appreciate this awesome pitch that the pitcher pitched, then you're missing half the game. And in the case of as it being pushed, shuttled away to a nice quiet room so the players can concentrate on playing the game, I think it was a missed marketing opportunity. So, anyhow, I don't remember this guy. I forget this guy.
Oh, I totally agree with
mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's one that's hard to argue against. I couldn't tell you the number of times I've heard people say, when it was in the big hall,
mm-hmm.
there was quite a few number of times I heard somebody say something like, people still play that? Wow. And they might come over and sign up to play. And then you've got a returning player.
Right.
Along with people who come through and see all the stuff. It's like the Star Trek tie-in part of it and go, that's interesting. What's that? How do I play that? And wanting to learn. It's like, you got your miniatures out playing the game in the breezeway doing demos, but then everybody else is tucked away in one set of rooms that's out of the way, up an escalator, and you got to go find it, and you can't even see them from outside of the room. But in there, in that big hall, when they're running the tournament, they've got 40, 50, 60 to 100 players at their peak.
Yeah. Even just 20. One of the best times, our best opportunity outside of that, the first year that we came back from interim, where there was easily somewhere between 50 to 100 players playing SFB, which was incredible. But then we had the European games came in, you know, and so forth, and they really took over and we lost players. But I think one of the best marketing opportunities we had is when you walked in that door for the big board gaming HQ, walk in that front door, turn to the right, and that's where we were. You could not miss us. Walking in, but coming back out, you saw us. We were dead center, right there. You know, but anyway, getting back to what we're showing here, we've got multiple FedCom games going on here with Mr. Patrick keeping an eye on things. Another FedCom obviously looks like somebody brought in one of their nicer maps. Ah, Starfleet Battle Force. Which is always nice. Frank Bradford. Oh, jeez. Oh, I forget this guy. This is awful. Oh.
Well, it has been 15 years.
Yeah, foreign accents. Jeez, I forget who it was. I can picture his accent in my mind. Yeah.
Got something.
Ah, Gary Bear. Okay.
Gary Bear?
Yeah, I think.
Hey, that sounds familiar.
Yeah, he played quite a bit. And exit full screen. But yeah, I found a few pictures from 2007. Which I saved off. I've got other pictures from other years. I just can't find them at the moment. Dun, 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 dun. Actually, hold on, let me just. I figured, so I don't have a topic. Oh, here's. I'm just gonna bring this one up. This is from the previous year. This is a better picture of that F&E. One that I was telling about. Beginnings, I think it was called, is what they were called. Is a much, oops. I want to make sure that, I think I pressed the wrong button so people can't see it. They should be able to see it right about now. There it is. Yeah, this is beginnings. This is a much better look to see what it looks like, which was quite an interesting one. Again, the F&E room.
Basically, they fire up and then they connected it to somebody else to fight with.
Yep. There she is again.
Yeah, that's Jen.
Yep. Oh, jeez. Ah. Oh, jeez. Her. Oh, crap. I forget her name. Olivia? Not Olivia.
How can you zoom in on that?
It's not the high quality picture. I can tell you that now. Oh,
yeah, right. I think they brought the kids out to the convention too. And I remember them talking, putting up the kid watching duties.
Mm-hmm. I think.
But she was a gamer. I don't think she played that symphony.
Right. Oh yeah, yeah. Agreed. And this person. I'm pretty sure he's John Stiff, who actually plays Starfleet Warlord quite a bit. And I have played him. And there's, of course, Mr. Bill Scheller again, and I forget who he was. Awful. Oh, yeah. Star Wars. Dun, dun, dun. Speeders and... obviously, the Battle of Hoth. Yeah, they had a whole big thing set up.
Nice.
Here's the whole setup with you know, the TIE Fighters. It's not the TIE Fighters, the X-Wings. Yeah. Excuse me, kid.
Transport ships.
There. Transports. That was the cannon, ion cannon. Of course, the generator there. Another Faycom game. Looks like... I don't know what that is. Oh, jeez. I forget... Okay, I forget him. This is awful. Some of these people I should remember, and I don't remember. Oh, yeah! This couple.
Oh, yeah, I remember all.
These guys, I remember these guys. Don't remember their names. But the one thing I remember about them is they drove all the way out to Origins on a motorcycle together.
Hi.
They drove like 1,000 miles to come out to Origins on a motorcycle. That's what
I kind of remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, that was interesting. Ken Lin.
Very interesting. Nice couple.
Yeah, it was they were a very nice couple. I agree 100% there.
Remember those guys?
Yeah. I think he played a couple SFB games. Didn't play all that much. But I think they purely came out just to have fun, you know.
Yeah, just for the experience of the convention.
Yep, exactly. This was, you know, back in 2006, so that's when things were starting, you know, when it comes to us, we're declining and so forth. What the heck is this? Oh, okay. Let's see if anything interesting. I got another year, which is 2004. I'm just looking at this. It's mostly okay. Definitely that. Okay, that one's not for you guys. That's for me. One of them was a couple of pictures. a couple of pictures of my wife and a couple of pictures of one of my kids. And I'm pretty sure I know which kid it is, which is the one who's out in Denver, Colorado. Holy cow. My niece. Dang. Was she ever that small? Sorry. So long ago. Oh, jeez. Oh, this is cool. I'll bring this up. This was 2003. I'm just going to bring it up real quick. So you can see this. I'm sorry. I apologize for everyone who's listening to the audio podcast, because this is most of the most boring thing you've ever heard, and I apologize for this. This is going to be, obviously, this is one of those ones. I know this is a little too late to be mentioning now since it's near the end of the podcast, but one that you really should watch on the YouTube. Go to sfuoncall.com and look at the latest episode and go to the YouTube link to see these wonderful pictures of Origins Past. This is one of the gatherings that happened in the food court. It's in 2003.
The thing, yeah.
There's Steve McCann back there in the background here. Nick Blank there.
It's the sing along.
Yep. I don't know him. Mm-hmm. And that's Roger Reardon moving at the moment. I wonder who that is with the camera.
What?
I was going to say that's you, but it can't be you.
That guy. Yeah, it was me.
before you added.
That was me.
Yeah. I thought it might be you because that looks like it's, yeah, that looks bad. Like Doug, but there's no beard. Where's the beard?
Yeah. I was still doing the National Guard thing back then.
Yep, you can tell by the haircut.
What year was that, you said?
2003.
Yeah, 4 more years and I would retire from the guards.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Official.
Can you catch me? I look so like fat. The beard adds the extra way.
Mike, okay, yeah, this guy is cool. Mike, forget Mike last name. Again, this, you know, pre Origins, got FedEx box, which is large maps in it. This is the entranceway going down into Origins, where you can get your all your tickets and so forth. You get an information booth here, which was not bad setup. This is when we were actually in the main board game HQ hall. This is, mm-hmm. Which was, again.
Now, one thing I will say about it is, I did, as a player, I really liked it when they went to the smaller room.
Mm-hmm.
But when I think about it, even with all the noise of the big hall, when you started to focus on what you had for the game, it kind of all gets, like, pushed aside. You don't really notice it that much.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But, yeah, just kind of a little aside there on that.
Oh, yeah. Agreed.
The food. Yeah. Who's that guy in the previous picture? That looked familiar. Then again, all these guys look familiar because we see them year after year.
Yeah,
for the most part.
Which one?
It was the gentleman with the beard. Like one more back.
Oh, one more back. This guy?
No, one more image back. Oh, no, wait. There's a delay. I'm sorry.
Yeah. This guy with
that
the beard.
That guy with thumbs up.
Yeah.
Looks so familiar. I just can't place him.
Me neither.
Fellow SFB player. There you go.
Agreed. And there's, I think that's Steve Cole in the background here. And I know that's Nick Blank there. A lot of rules,
yeah,
a lot of books.
Yeah, Steve's kind of hard to miss.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I remember this was the judge table.
Yeah.
Because back here, along the back table behind Nick, is all of the tournament SSDs. Because we used to put them in boxes of the SSDs. And then we have one box of like EA forms. We never had that. I forget if we had Andromeda and EA forms or not. Or had to allow people to take mine. Because I always had copies of the Andromeda injury allocation form, which was quite nice. I liked it. Of course, the funny part is, if you look at the Andromeda energy allocation form in the SFB Online client, I don't implement everything. I really should, but I don't. Which is the like there's a portion of which is for the PA panels to keep track of them and so forth, and I don't keep track of them on the EA. Ah, the captain's tree. Mancuso Hornberg, yes, John Hornberg, Steve McCann, Rogero, Conroy Cruz, Tim Sheehy, yes, the drunken master. He's the guy that he would come with a six pack and drink the six pack through the day, and the more he drank, the better he got. Tim Sheehy was a very unique individual in my mind. He's the only person that I know who learned to play SFB and didn't own the rule book. He learned the rules and he from other people and he memorized them. The real world application of the rules, you know, in gameplay. So, you know, yes, someone could definitely get past him, this rule, and they could show it in the rule book, you know, and he would not know about that rule, but he'd know about the next time you try to use it, you know? There's Paul Scott,
oh, yeah.
Chris Larson, Kubatowski. I think that's what that guy's name was from the previous one. Mullen, Manning, and Bristol. Wow. Oh, Tim Linden. Hellbore, G, and two B-Racks. Hellbore, Phaser, and two B-Racks. Didn't have the cockroach killer. Huh. You know, the Phaser boat, which is, you know, four phaser ones and a phaser G. Surprise. Steve McCann, big surprise. G1. Can you do that anymore? Have two phaser Gs.
I don't know
either. It's been a while. Ah, Mech Warrior. Let's look at some of these other games. Ah.
Was that the year where they actually had the big thing you could get in and do the Mech Warrior thing? Like the simulator?
Oh, those. Jeez. I don't remember if this was that year. Oh. Looks like a Civil War. Miniatures.
exactly what that is.
Come over that hill. Let's charge, men! As they get blown up.
Yeah.
The big food court and Cream and Nut Company, which is always cool. Oh yeah, they had really good peanut butter sandwiches, Buckeye milkshakes. Good place to go to get some food. You wouldn't get lunch there unless you want a sandwich. I still remember stopping by that place on the way out of town.
Oh yeah, get that road trip sandwich.
Yep. Yeah, they good peanut butter jelly sandwiches. Oh yeah, from the trip. Obviously, where we have the windmills in the middle of Pennsylvania. First time I ever saw that.
Yeah.
Oops, wrong one. That's the one I wanted. But say very least, way back in my day.
Back in the day, before those fancy, what call it, new things. Yeah, got it.
Oh boy. I'm going to show us a few more real quick from 2002.
2004.
Again, this is one of those times when we were basically in the big hall. Obviously, Peter Bakiya right there, Steve Petrick off to the side here. Beautiful. Ah, yes, Alistair Ray. That was, sad when he died. Again, see all these players in here, or Section B, all these players playing SFB, lining these tables. It was great. Right there. Starfleet Battles. I think this is, was this the first year we came back? I'm not sure. It might have been the first year because this was 20 years ago. Because the reason why I say that is because Starfleet Battles is here right against the wall. Yeah, but if it is that year that I first came back, look at all these players. Oh, geez. Greg Dykehouse, right there. Mr. Scott. Die. Oh, crap. I forget this guy's name. He worked on the RPG stuff for ADB. Of course, Mike and Steve Petrick. Remember this guy? Big, tall.
I don't remember his name.
Yeah, I forget it. Forget his name, which is awful. I know. There's Mr. Sheehy, and of course, with a couple of bottle beers sitting right beside him. I still remember a lot of times he'd keep them like down on the ground so if anyone would show up, because I'm pretty sure you weren't supposed to be drinking beer in the middle of the board game hall.
Yeah, it was kind of against.
Yeah.
Yeah, the convention had rules about that stuff.
Yeah, I'm sure you knew them because you were a volunteer. Ah,
was I a volunteer that year?
Don't know.
I think I might have been.
This is why I say it's possible the year we came back.
That early.
This guy.
And not if it was 2002 or something. When?
This is 2002.
99?
This is 2002.
Oh, 2002.
Might be a little bit.
I remember him.
Yeah, you remember who he is?
Yeah, is that Burnside? No.
No. That's Joe Burnside. Butler.
Oh, my God, Joe Butler. Okay, B.
Yeah.
He passed away.
Yes. Yes, he did.
I remember him passing away way back in the day.
Yeah. It was really sad.
Burnside's a big, tall, lanky guy.
Yes, he is.
And
glasses, and yeah. You've actually
in the right category.
You've seen him in person. He's come to Gamers at least once. He came to Gamers.
Burnside, that's what I was saying. I could physically describe Burnside, big, lanky guy with thick glasses.
Yep.
But much thicker than those.
Oh, much thicker than those. And you know what?
Isn't that gonna last?
Yeah. To this day, I kicked myself. Because he lived in Norristown, Pennsylvania. I lived up the road in Pottstown. And I never, contacted him and say, hey, you want to play a game of SFB or something like that, you know? That's why I've always wanted to kick myself. Never took an opportunity to do that, you know?
Well, you can't tell when somebody's gonna go.
So oh, agree. Oh, this was way before you go.
Don't beat yourself up about that too much. I mean, you're what, 40 minutes, an hour away.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. I'll let you get caught up. We have Bill Scheller versus the ever so famous, in SFB circles at least, Tom Carroll. The Tom Carroll. Right there. That's Tom Carroll. That's Bill Scheller. Two of the triumvirate, in my mind, at least, okay, of the people that I knew, I personally knew, you had Bill Scheller, you had Tim Carroll, you had Paul Scott. Those were the top three. Rated aces, multi gold hat rated aces, some of the best SFB players ever. Now, my understanding is Sandy Hemingway was a really good player, but I never met him. I did get to meet Anthony Medici. This was after he was involved in SFB, but if anyone who knows SFB knows who Anthony Medici is. He is Mr. Andromedan himself. This is from back in the day when they actually had a player to represent each empire in SFB when it comes to rules and things like that. And Anthony Medici is the one who represented the Andromedans, of course. Also, it's Anthony Medici that proved how a little itty bitty cobra could beat a Fed CA and nerf the Andromedans. Thank you, Anthony.
Hey, technically, it was not all his fault that they got nerfed.
I know.
Kind of needed it.
I know.
So there.
Yeah. There's certain things I still don't like about it. But. About that. I kiss my Evelyn butt, man. Really? Okay, really? Really? Is there a particular reason?
What's that?
Give me a sec. And you'll see. Yes.
Look at the screen on.
Say hi. Say hi. Hi. I think... That is my clue. That is my.
You've been on the computer too long. Play with me.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
He probably wants treats, is what he wants. He wants his night treats because he's a spoiled little thing. Okay, can you? Okay, excuse me. Okay, kitty. Goodbye. Well, Doug. Say, at least, it was fun going back to some of the older's origins and showing off some pictures. I apologize again to the people on the podcast who probably either fast forward or delete this podcast. I know it's a little late at this moment in time, but I might hopefully mark something in the description of the podcast so people will know that this is a video heavy podcast, and please go to the YouTube video and watch that instead of listening to my voice droning on about the past years and the picture that I'm looking at this moment in time. It's like, oh, this person was this person was that. Well, that does not help an audio podcast. So,
well, thank you for that trip down memory lane. That brings back a lot of memories.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah. Well, you can leave that alone. Okay. Well, Doug, you have a good night.
You too. Thank you.
Okay. Bye. So, tonight was a night of memory lane, going back to earlier origins from 2002, 2003. I think we even hit 2004 and definitely 2007. Many wonderful years, you know, go back to see Joe Butler, Steve Cole. Yes, he's still alive. Joe Butler's not, Steve Cole is. Alistair Ray is not alive. People like, oh, Paul Scott when he was younger. Tom Carroll, Bill Scheller, you know, Stephen McCann, you know. It's been a while since I've seen his face. And that's last time I saw his face was Council of Five Nations, what, 4 or 5 years ago? You know? It was nice. You know, for the one and only time I went to Council of Five Nations and played an SFB tournament. Had a wonderful time, you know? But anyhow, with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.